thirsty, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, it's now in the history books, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And it could be written as a change in the game week. Hi, welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka. I'm here with the STL golf geek, Jay Randolph Jr. If you weren't pulling your hair out before this last week, you certainly must have Bryson DeChambeau pulling at all those roots right now.
Well, as you said in the open, it could be written as a change in the game week. Could being the key word. I have let it be fairly well known that I do not understand or really like the way in which Bryson approaches the game. Having said that, I have the ultimate respect in what he is doing and what he has done. And it very well may be a game-changing week. We may start seeing the next generation of players in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years trying to emulate what he has done for this success. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. And whether you like the way he approaches the game or you do not understand or dislike the way he approaches the game, it doesn't matter. Because as I've always said, Bob, this guy believes it. Dottie Pepper made that comment on Sunday that while he, you know, he is against the grain and against the norm, the bottom line is he believes it and he believes in himself.
And the bottom line that really has to be answered, and we're fortunate enough almost on a weekly basis, we get to hear from a club pro from the Massachusetts area by the name of Joe Keefe, who is a big fan of Bryson DeChambeau. But, you know, the problem that's starting to come into focus for me, most any change that anybody could make in their golf game could almost be made by anybody. Would it work as well? Probably not. But I don't think that this change is available to the masses. I mean, I don't see a huge percentage of the people that play golf that can make a decision, well, I'm going to gain 40 pounds and hit the ball further. I mean, I'm delighted. Bryson DeChambeau is getting awfully close to weighing more than I do. And I never thought I'd see a top-notch golfer tipping the scales at that weight. But getting back to what I was saying, Jay, I don't think that that's available to the average golfer.
No, you're not going to have golf schools across the country invent a Bryson plan for their pupils. It's at the highest level is where we're talking about. I mean, his approach, his golf swing, the workout situation and the amount of weight and muscle that he has gained, the best player, I mean, you know, Zach Johnson isn't going to change his stuff. But I promise you that the Matthew Wolfs, the Colin Morikawas, the kids on the AJGA Tour, it's hitting home with a lot of the young people. I see these Brysonites, in a sense, come to Gateway. And I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch to see if he can sustain the success. It certainly appears like it. And what impact it has on the highest level in the game. Because when a guy is able to hit it as far as he hits it and hit it as straight as he does, and when I say straight, I mean comparative to the swing speed and the ball speed he's generating. I'm not talking about compared to Cal Pete. I mean, you know, I'm talking about to where he's at in terms of distance. Yeah, he's going to miss some fairways, but if you notice, he's just kind of chipping to a green half the time.
And the one thing that I think is worth mentioning, and really didn't find it out until Monday night, you know, he wins on Sunday, It's his sixth win on the PGA Tour. He's 26 years old. He's single. He's good looking. What does he do Monday morning? He flies to Denver to work on his muscle activation technique. He's trying to refine it even more. And there we learned that part of his plan is maybe another 20, 30 pounds. He may want to play this game at 270 is what he thinks is the optimum weight that he can carry and still generate the speed of that golf club. I mean, Jay, forget everything else. I mean, that type of dedication to get up Monday morning after you just won $1.3 million on Sunday night and go to work for, you know, to improve your golf game, to me, that's simply incredible.
No, his commitment to what he's doing or what he does, and you hear it when he talks about it, you know, it's not some rigmarole. And as you pointed out, going to Denver after a W, I mean, what the heck? But that's his approach. And, you know, everything he does is to prepare for that next round, whether it be his food, whether it be his actions, whether it be his workout, whether it be his practice. I mean, and most guys do that, but not to this extent and not with this vigor that he does. So, and then I'm not taking a shot at anybody. That's just, it's again, it's against the grain and against the norm. And right now it's leading to tremendous success. The other thing that a lot of people have asked me, Bob, over the weekend, the power and the force that he goes at it. We've seen a guy that you and I both have incredible respect for and appreciation, Tiger Woods, who early on went at it extremely hard and at times, you know, went at it harder than maybe he should have. And we know what it did to his body. So you have to keep the physical portion in mind, too. At what cost could this potentially be? Or is he doing everything right? I mean, has this guy actually figured the whole thing out?
Well, and that's the million-dollar question. Why don't we listen right now to Bryson's comments after his victory?
It's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body. I changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf. And it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring out things that you may not know and understand yet, but if you keep going down the line and you keep working on it, figuring stuff out, eventually you'll get a little bit better each and every day, and hopefully that leads to something great in the end.
Pretty inspirational words from Bryson DeChambeau. Obviously, not everybody, or probably not even anybody, is going to achieve the unbelievable results he has. But no matter what your endeavor is, if you work at it hard enough and you do the right things, you're going to get better at what you're doing. And I think that's the bottom line to the message that Bryson is sending. I just can't get over that he's 69 under par since, you know, we restarted on the PGA Tour. And, you know, the first four events, 69 under par. Mr. Randolph, you got to help me digest that number.
Well, and with all that's going on out there and on the tour and the testing and the change and playing, you know, as you said, this was the fourth week in a row he played. And he'd been playing, obviously, extremely well, making a couple of mistakes that cost him. And the putter cost him a little bit down in Texas. And everything came together. And the start of Matthew Wolf and the start of Bryson totally affected that golf tournament. Now, it reverted on the back nine, but not enough to the extent to where it got really tight. I mean, it looked like Wolf might have a shot, but it was Bryson's week. And, you know, you hear that quote from him and that commitment to dedication. And like I say, I want to dislike the guy. I want to bash the guy because I don't understand it. And it's not the golf I know. But gosh darn it, I mean, you hear something like that, and it's hard to dislike him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's solid in so many aspects. But here's an interesting point, Jay, that I came across just this past week. He may not be really original in a couple of aspects. You know, all of his irons are the same length. Well, there was a guy, and you know, he takes that abbreviated backswing. So I delve into the history books, and I come up with a couple of names. There was a guy by the name of Henry Cotton from England who was an unbelievable player. He won 3 Open Championships, all right? He had experimented quite frequently with same-length irons, so he seemed to be ahead of the game. I mean, the last Open that he won was in 1948, so he's certainly not fresh on the minds of a lot of people. And ironically enough, I came upon Henry Cotton through 2 venues. One, Janice Self, the executive producer of the show, has this marvelous book on Henry Cotton that, you know, Jay, you wouldn't put it down the minute you picked it up. And then talking with a couple of dear friends, lifelong friends, as a matter of fact, that are both were in the golf business, both club professionals by the name of Sonny Rhodes, who was a dear friend of Harvey Pienick, and another, Bob Joyce, longtime teacher. They tell me they have a picture of the two of them talking to Henry Cotton. I said, you got to be kidding. But they mailed it to me, and I'm looking at 2 of my friends talking to Henry Cotton. And, of course, you know, the name, and I saw him hit golf balls, and you know the name very well, Mo Norman. I mean, it's like Bryson DeChambeau is a little bit Henry Cotton, a little bit Mo Norman, and a lot Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And, boy, those 3 guys, you know, when you combine the intellect that they have put into the game, this is why we're seeing the finished product of Bryson DeChambeau right now, already winning for the 6th time.
Yeah, you certainly can see a little Mo, especially in that backswing and that finish of Bryson DeChambeau. You know, Mo was an interesting character. I think there were a lot of things that led him not to be as successful a player and more of a folk hero and legend up north in Canada. You just wonder where he's going to go in terms of how far Bryson's going to take this. And he was asked that. Does he plan on getting bigger?
I think I'm maintaining where I'm at pretty well, even through these 4 weeks. This week was my highest ball speed week, so that's pretty cool to see. Tomorrow I'm going to Denver to work with Greg Roscoff again. I'm going to be working also with NeuroPeak, doing some brain training stuff to see how much stronger I can get before I come back to Memorial. So I'm going. I'm full sailing, going as hard as I can to get as strong and big as I can.
Did he say brain training?
Exactly. And and the guy that he's going to go see has been the longtime physical trainer for the Broncos. He's been working with the Broncos. Now he's working with Bryson DeChambeau. And, you know, there's just so many parts to this recipe that are mysterious. But it seems like every ingredient that's being added is just making the pot of stew taste better.
It's clearly good for the game, and also good for the game. Bob was the guy that was runner-up. One of the young studs, along with Vic Hovland and Colin Morikawa. Matthew Wolf finishes 2nd to become the youngest. He would have become the youngest 2-time winner since Tiger Woods if he would have been able to hoist the trophy. But another good showing for Matthew Wolf, who hadn't been playing really all that well since his victory.
And I think he's being inspired a little bit by Bryson DeChambeau. I think Matthew Wolf is a tremendous talent. He goes about it in a completely different fashion than anybody else that's playing out on the tour. So maybe we're at an age now where different is better. We go back to the conventional style. Webb Simpson, he seems to be playing some real solid golf, and he's leading in the FedEx Cup. Happy to see Ricky Fowler, Jay. He's an ambassador for Rocket Mortgage. Hadn't been playing that well. but he has a 12th place finish, and you know, he had missed two straight cuts, so good deal for none other than Ricky Fowler.
And your man Kevin Kisner just jumped him on Sunday. He shot a bogey-free 600 par 66, shot up the leaderboard to finish tie for third, and that's his best finish since his W at the match play in 2019. Danny Willett, a very good finish for him. Hopefully that means good things to come for him. And, you know, again, another good tournament. You didn't have necessarily the depth of big names that you had, because a lot of guys, you know, most guys don't play 4 weeks in a row, but a handful of them did. The winner did. Another good tournament for the tour.
Absolutely. And certainly not too far out of the realm of reality. You mentioned Kevin Kisner and his great caddy, Dwayne Bach, who I grew up with on Long Island. But he's a fine example of another way of getting it done. He doesn't rely on brawn and strength, but he relies on his golf skills, and I love seeing that. Good week also for Cameron Champ. He was just added to the field because of, you know, change in the PGA Tour's health and safety plans regarding COVID-19. So nice job by Cameron Champ there.
It certainly was. You had to wonder, I mean, his mindset, you know, thinking he had it and then asymptomatic and can I play and when can I play and all that stuff. Nice finish and a lot of birdies last week for Cam Champ. Moving on, Bob, the next event, we've got the double dip, if you will, at Muirfield Village, Jack's Palace. First, the Workday Charity Open. And, of course, this was going to be the fifth event and there were going to be no fans. Then next week, the Memorial. But, Bob, the PGA Tour, and you could kind of sense this coming. There had been really no discussion about it. You know, I think with the way things are in some of the places in Ohio, they announced that they will not allow fans next week to attend the event. They'd hope to have 5,000 to 8,000. But, you know, as we saw the PGA of America make the announcement that they would not have fans in attendance in San Francisco the second week of August, you kind of had the feeling that this was coming.
Yeah, you really did. And I mentioned to somebody, and I'd be curious to get your reaction, since they're going to be at Muirfield Village 2 weeks in a row, I said they should have made it a 144-hole tournament. Combine the purses, you know, just make it a little bit different. Make it almost a mini marathon of golf. The reaction I got from my friends wasn't too positive, so I'm a little hesitant in asking you that question, but I did, so give me your thoughts.
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe you could have had them, I don't know about an 8-rounder. You and I have seen that marathon, the qualifying school, the old 6-rounder. I mean, you know, if you wanted to get goofy, maybe the top 132 players make match play and you start on Tuesday, or so the top top 128 make match play. There's a lot of stuff you could have done. I think they just thought, you know what, this is kind of a midway, early point of us back. We're going to try the fan thing the following week. We'll have everybody kind of in the same position for 2 weeks. And it was kind of a last-minute scramble to get some players the opportunity to play and make some money.
It's going to be the Workday Charity Open, a brand-new event, 157 players. We already mentioned that it's going to be at the Muirfield Village Club. Normal field size is 156, but I think the tour did a great thing. Chase Koepka, they put him in the field because of his selfless action in WDing from the Travelers after admitting that he had been around his brother's caddy, tested positive for COVID-19. Once again, very nice move by the tour. So big names will be playing now, all in that race to get into the top 125 for the FedEx Cup playoffs. And of course, they're trying to get ready now for the upcoming major championships.
Yeah, I mean, we're a month away, folks, from San Francisco and Harding Park and the first major of the year. And this field has got some major talent. Rahm is playing, Mickelson, Morikawa, Justin Rose, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas, Matthew Wolf, the runner-up last week, Gary Woodland, the reigning U.S. Open champion. I mean, you got some big-time talent playing this week, Bob, and you know, it should be another great week.
Well, Jay, as you were talking, news just came into the grill room concerning the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. A decision has been made. It's definitive. The Ryder Cup's going to be postponed 1 year. It's going back to Whistling Straits. Herb Kohler will be happy about that. As far as the President's Cup goes, that has been moved now to 2022. Well, I'm really glad, Jay, that situation finally settled. We can move on with the rest of this year. Hopefully things will continue to do well.
Well, we're always trying to figure out, Bob, how to get more golfers into the game and then keep them there. Why don't you tell them what they're doing in your second home on the road, if you will, down there in lovely Biloxi, Mississippi?
Well, right across the street from my favorite casino, Beau Rivage, MGM, they built and opened a beautiful baseball complex a couple of years ago, and the nickname of the team is the Shuckers. And so many times over the last couple of years, here I am in my vehicle, I see the baseball lights are on, and now I got a decision to make. Do I go in and watch the Shuckers, or do I go into Beau Rivage and sit at the blackjack table and keep saying, ah, shucks, ah, shucks? So it's not that hard a decision, but I haven't been in there yet. You know what they're doing? They're opening it for a few hours every day into a small golf course. I think it's from like 8 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. It's a 9-hole chipping course. It's only $25 green fee. It's only one hand of blackjack, so that's a pretty good bargain. And then at 4:15, it turns into a target challenge with golfers firing balls from two different party decks. Hey, if you can introduce more players, Jay, I think you agree with me, more players for the game of golf. If we introduce them, they'll ultimately be saying thanks to us, because it is a sport of a lifetime.
Have you ever wondered about yardage books or green books printed for your course? Of course, we see guys looking at them, on the golf course. Golf Logix has an app that has mapped out your club's greens. But now they're producing a green book just like the pros have, and it's water on waterproof paper, real green books. It has all the important green measurements, slopes, and information. You can put one in your back pocket, and you'll look just like a pro. Bob caught up with Pete Charleston, and that conversation's coming your way right after I tell you all about my home course in Madison, Illinois, Gateway National. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning link-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right. The iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase a season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
Joining us now in the grill room, he's been here before, but We got to get some information out of this gentleman. His name is Pete Charleston. He's the president and co-founder of Golf Logic. It's actually the number one golf app with over 4 million downloads. I took a survey of some of our listeners, Pete, and I appreciate you coming on, and I asked them to come up with some questions that they would like answered. So that's what I'm going to do right now. And let's just begin by telling me about Green Books. What does it do?
Well, as you mentioned, and first of all, thank you for having me on. It's good to be back on the show. And, you know, we are, you know, the number one downloaded, you know, app for golf. We've been at this for years and years. And, you know, we came up with this putting data a number of years ago, and we saw it on the PGA Tour. We saw them using it. We figured out what they were doing, and we thought, well, let's build this into our app for the, you know, everyday golfer and you know, the amateur golfer. And so we did that, and we had great success. And then we felt like we were missing this group of people who didn't want to take their phones out on the green. They wanted our data, and they wanted to be able to help, you know, putt better, but they didn't have this, they didn't want to take their phone to the green. And so we did a bunch of surveying and talking to people, and we identified this need. And so we kind of went backwards a little bit, and we created this traditional yardage book that has a picture of the hole and layups and all that. But then we show this incredibly detailed, easy to view, USGA compliant, you know, green reading information. And it's just, it's taken off. It's just been amazing, the response to it.
It certainly makes a lot of sense to me, you know, because when you watch the players playing at the highest level, you never, ever, obviously, see them take out their cell phone and look at the cell phone while standing on the green. But they will take out a greens book now. And every amateur that plays this game wants to try and aspire to be a terrific golfer. So taking out the book, mentally, it makes them better automatically.
Well, the one thing that, and this is me personally, and this is, you know, feedback from the thousands and thousands of people that have purchased the book, but it gives you more confidence. And it's like, if there's anything that you can do, whether it's, oh, I got this new piece of equipment, or I practiced more, or I took lessons or whatever, you know, it doesn't seem to always help and translate on the putting green. There are just some days, depending on the type of golfer you are, some days or all days, that's more like me, I get on that green and I just don't see the break. And now all of a sudden you've got this tool, this piece of equipment that goes in your back pocket. It's legal for any kind of tournament. And you pull it out and you immediately, like, you, it takes no art or skill at the bare minimum to know the putt is going left to right versus right to left, and whether it's uphill or downhill. And just armed with those two pieces of information, you're going to putt with more confidence. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it's the equivalency of having a caddy that's been working there for 20 years that can take a quick look and tell you the break. I mean, obviously, it's going to boost your confidence. How many courses are in the database?
So we've got over 13,000 courses mapped with respect to the green books, and we have the same information in our app as well. So, and they're all in the U.S.
Wow, that seems like an incredible number. If somebody's a member of a club and it's not in the database, can they make an inquiry to Golf Logics and have a book for their golf course?
Yeah, absolutely. Right on our site, they can go on and they can and look at the and see if the course is available. And if it's not, they can simply, there's a request a course button there. And then we put that in our queue and we map it as fast as we can.
Pete, somebody asked me this specifically. Can it help an average player's course management?
Oh, it doesn't matter what handicap you are. And, you know, when we first started coming out with this putting data, you know, we made a point to talk to people that were, you know, 20 handicaps and 10 handicaps and scratch golfers, and they all gave me different responses and why it helped them. But, you know, for a mid to high handicap person, more than likely, one of their biggest struggles is on the putting green. And if you didn't grow up playing golf, many times it's very difficult to read greens. And what this green book immediately does is, at the least, it aims you the right way. It tells you, you know, there's an art to, you got to use it a few times to really understand it. Is it inside left? Is it a ball left? Is it a cup? Is it a foot? Right. And that takes a couple times because there's an art and a skill to reading this, but so obvious when you're standing behind that putt, you see the ball's the direction the ball's going to break, or if it maybe it doesn't break at all. So it will help every skill type of golfer. And obviously the pros are all using it. So, and we know that it works for the low handicapper.
This is a little bit out of left field, but just lining up, let's say a 20-foot putt, if it misses, what is the ideal distance that putt should go past the cup? I mean, I've heard various numbers, and I'd be curious as to your response to that question.
Well, what's really cool, if you want to use science and not my opinion, is in the GolfLogic app, if you actually are standing on the green, and this is something someone can do, whether they're practicing or playing, but you can actually stand on the green, and you basically, all you've got to do is draw a line from where you're standing on the screen to where the cup is. And if you do that, the it'll actually run, AKA almost like Tiger Woods golf, it'll actually run the perfect scenario, and it fires in a matter of a second. It'll fire like 1,000 balls, and it will predict your perfect putt. And it will tell you, your read will be aim 6 inches left, 10 inches long. And if you do that, the ball will go in the hole. And that's based on where you're standing, where the cup and the ball are. So it's true science. It's a physics algorithm. It's amazing.
Listening to you, I'm really glad I was competitive when I had my heyday, because I was an excellent putter. And if people had green books, they would reduce that margin that I held over them. So I'm glad I played when I did. We're talking to Pete Charleston, president and co-founder of GolfLogic. What does this greens book cost?
So the green books are $40 a piece. And then our app subscription, if you choose to go the other direction, you get unlimited access to the putting data. That's $40 a year. So, it's funny. Some people are like, you're charging $40 for a book? But the reality is millions and millions of dollars it took us to get this data and form it into this and make it as simple as it looks on paper. Big, easy to read arrows. Like anybody that can't see, I'm 51, so I've got that starting to hit me hard. I can't see anything up close. We've made the arrows really big, and it shows you the direction of the putt. We've got colors on the green, which really call out the slope. So, if you see red, that means, this is really slopey, whether uphill or downhill, depending on what direction you're going. If you see blue and white, and that's the golden ticket. If you're on a green and you pull out your yardage book and you look and your ball and cup are in kind of in a blue and or white area, it gives you the green light that this is a straight flat putt. And at the most, maybe it's going to break left to center, maybe just inside the cup, but you can literally go dead at the cup. And I don't know about you, but I never see straight putts. I always think I think everything breaks. And having this tool that tells you this is a straight flat putt, you're like, oh my goodness. And you can be aggressive, and it's so freeing and confidence building.
Well, I think that $40 price point, any objection to that would be simply eliminated the first time they tee off in their normal group, whether they're playing $2, $5 or $10 Nassau, and they win all the money. They'd say, wow, that was a good investment. That's for sure. All right, the important question, Pete Charleston, how does one order this green book?
Well, in a perfect world, they go to their local pro shop, and if they ask for the GolfLogic green books, and if they don't have them, then they can contact us or have the course contact us. We're actually in the process right now of a full guerrilla marketing campaign where we're sending 3 free books to every golf course that we have mapped, and telling them, hey, go check it out, have the staff use it, hand it out to some of your members that play there a lot, or, whether it's a public course, private, it doesn't matter. And then we put them in the shop. If the shop doesn't want to stock them, then they can buy them direct from GolfLogics at GolfLogics, and that's GolfLogix.com. They just search for the course and they can buy it there.
Well, I can't think of a better sport where tradition meets technology. I know it's a tagline of yours, but it is so very true. I know a lot of people are excited listening to you explain your green books, and I'm hopeful that they give it a try. They'll play a little bit better, and boy, there's no better feeling after playing a good round of golf.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.